Let's pray.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night for all of our danger, and I pray that you keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my days of life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil follow and have no power over me. Amen.
At this time, we sing together our opening.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the ground. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. We pray together the collect of the day as it's found on your proper's insert. Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost comes from Numbers. Chapter 11. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now, two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Apologies, not our second reading yet. We got to take out our small catechism insert. Our small catechism for this morning comes again from baptism. So we continue anew our confession. First, what is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Which is that word of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Second, what benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." The second reading comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, we confess our God-given faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we sing together our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Pentecost. That's a big word. Pentecost is simply a Greek word that means 50th. Well, what's so important about 50? Well, it was 50 days from the Passover celebration to what's known as the Feast of Weeks. And both, the Passover and the Feast of Weeks, Israel was required to go to the place where the Lord was found. And in Jesus' time, that was Jerusalem. And so we have this situation where these people would go to Jerusalem, both at Passover and both at Pentecost. And yet we see that there are two very important events that happen for the church, both at Passover with the resurrection of Jesus, and then also at Pentecost, when God sends the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Today, that's what we focus on. How God reveals his Holy Spirit to us 50 days after Jesus rises from the dead and 10 days after he ascends into heaven. It seems the perfect time for us to be in God's house. Well, because God commanded his people to gather on such a day as this. You see, before that very first Pentecost for the church, they'd already known. The people already knew who God the Father was. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. And then, in the person of Jesus, they not only know the Son, but they also know the Father all the more because of what Jesus reveals about him. But as of yet, they don't know the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit had not yet been sent. And so for this reason, some people consider that Pentecost is actually the birthday of the church, because we finally get the full revelation of who God truly is. So happy birthday, church. That's good. We should sing happy birthday at the end, right? No, this event is so important then, because this is how we know God as one God, but in three persons. And now that we know this reality, the church really doesn't change anymore. There's a different Old Testament reality, and then when Jesus comes, he brings something new. And then even after Jesus ascends, this Holy Spirit is kind of the last piece that the church needs in order to understand their mission. And so let's read again the words from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's take a look at the comparisons, right? They're all gathered together in one place, and where have we come today? We're all gathered here together in one place. What a wonderful thing. And as they're gathered, we hear this sound, this mighty rushing wind kind of blows in through the doors, right? I don't think we're going to get that. Sorry, I mean, I guess I could have manufactured something with a big fan in the basement, but we're not going to get anything like that. And so we have to kind of think about this in a little bit of a different way. We know how speech is created. Your lungs fill with air, and then they push the air out over your vocal cords to create words. It means without wind, without air, there is no speech. And so maybe my voice isn't a loud rushing wind, but it is still the Holy Spirit coming to be with you. And as you hear these words, the Holy Spirit is resting upon you just as it rested upon those disciples. And it's not like my words. I mean, granted, I'm the one who wrote the sermon, but the words are not my words. The words are from the Holy Spirit. So this sound, right? So this Holy Spirit, he comes, and at this sound, and as the disciples themselves receive this word first, well, again, there's all these people gathered in Jerusalem at this time, and they recognize that there's something going on. We heard this loud, mighty, rushing wind. What's going on over here, guys? And it gives the disciples this opportunity to preach. The people gather for a purpose. And that purpose is that they too might hear the word of God in their own language, in words that they can comprehend and in words that they understand pretty easily. What we see at Pentecost, what we see even this morning as we gather in the church, it's the same thing that we confess in the small catechism. The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And in the same way, he calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. The Holy Spirit's work began at Pentecost. The wind and the fire, right? Good stuff. But his work never stopped. He continues to work even into our own church and in churches throughout the world. Think the gospel is still being proclaimed. Wind is still coming out of people's mouths to bring the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Sinners are still being baptized and grafted into God's family. The Lord's Supper is being distributed that way people might have their sins forgiven and their faith strengthened. It's all happening. And these are the ways that the Holy Spirit has promised that he would continue to work in the world. This is what Jesus meant when he told his disciples before he ascended. He said, "You will receive power from on high." That power wasn't a loud rushing wind. The power wasn't the flames of fire that descended over their head. The power wasn't that they could now speak in tongues or do any of those miracles that we see them doing throughout Acts. That's not the power. The power is the power of salvation. It's the power that the Holy Spirit has given to the church, to those who believe. It's the power of the Jesus who has been crucified and risen for the sins of the world, and it's the power for peace. A peace that the world cannot give. And it's the power that you have been given to wield. Yes, you, each individual member of the church, you have this power. Because the Holy Spirit has granted it to you. But do you believe it? Do you know that? Peter knows it. We see what Peter does in our text for today. He receives this power from the Holy Spirit, and it makes him bold. Bold to get up and to confess his Savior unashamedly. He confesses how Jesus came to live a perfect life. He confesses how Jesus died an innocent death, how he rose from the grave victorious after 3 days, how he has taken away the sins of the whole world, including those people who were right there before him. And it means if he's going to proclaim a sins being taken away, he also has to proclaim repentance. He is bold enough to tell them that they screwed up 53 days prior, when they crucified the king of the whole world, they got it wrong. Because only after they are led to repentance do they understand their need for a Savior. Peter knows it. And did everyone believe him? Of course not. You know, we get that little ditty in there about how, these men are drunk. It's 9 in the morning and they've already filled themselves with new wine. No, not everyone believes. But some do. After Peter's preaching, it says that 3,000 souls were added to their number that day. Pentecost is about receiving the Spirit of God. It's about receiving that power from on high. But then Jesus tells us what we should do with that power. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The power isn't for you to keep within yourself. The power is given to you that you might be witnesses. That you might be bold as Peter was bold and stand up and unashamedly proclaim who your Savior is. Jesus. The one who lived perfectly, who died innocently, and who rose victoriously. And in fact, it means if you're going to be proclaiming that message, you first have to proclaim a message of repentance. To recognize when someone has sinned and to call them out on it. And yeah, sure, it's real easy to say in theory. Yeah, you screwed up. But when you're face to face with someone you love, with a friend or a neighbor or a family member, and you know that they've screwed up and it is your job to call them to repentance, that is very hard to do. And it makes us scared. makes us afraid. Because we live in this politically correct world and we don't know how they're going to react. But the Holy Spirit gives us boldness to do that. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to call a sinner to repentance, and what's even better, but to deliver Jesus' forgiveness into their ears. Let's not miss those opportunities. Because the truth is that every time we don't call someone to repentance, every time we don't pronounce forgiveness to them, we missed an opportunity not only for the Holy Spirit to use us as his vessel, but our neighbor has missed an opportunity to have their own little mini Pentecost. Our sin is great because so often we would much rather be comfortable than bold. We forget that it's through the church that the Holy Spirit works. We forget that we are the church and individually members of it. And so today, the Holy Spirit helps us to remember. My friends, whether you've realized it or not, today is a mini Pentecost for you, as is every Sunday, because the Holy Spirit has called you to recognize your sin and to receive these words. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, all of your sins are forgiven. In this is power. In this is peace. And in this is the one true faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you have blessed us in love with the Savior to whom the nations cry and in whom is forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Grant to us your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom you have promised, that we and all who call upon his name shall be saved. Help us to treasure in our hearts your mercy and to give ourselves fully to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you delivered your word through Moses and the prophets and fulfilled your word in Christ. He was planted in death for our sins and raised for our justification. And in him shall all the nations of the earth be united. Give us pastors who will preach his word faithfully, and church workers who are devoted to your service. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have promised the thirsty will drink, and from the empty will flow forth rivers of living water. Help us to show forth in holy lives the fruits of the Spirit, and to live with love toward our neighbor. Give us a servant's heart that doesn't seek our own way, but walks on the path of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have promised to make one people from the many. Take from us all pride, prejudice, and hate, that we may not hinder the cause of the gospel by our shame, but give welcome to all people in the name of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, You have ordered all things in heaven and on earth. Bless Donald, our president, J.B., our governor, the Congress of the United States, and all elected and appointed civil servants, that the rule of law may protect the weak, preserve life from conception to its natural end, and peace may reign for the benefit of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, have mercy and spare us. Put an end to the pandemic and restore the communities of the world to their common life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have given our nation the gift and heritage of freedom. It came at the cost of many lives on battlefields far and near. Receive our thanks for their sacrifice, and give us the courage to preserve liberty in our own time and to use it honorably. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you breathe hope into the weary and renew your church by your grace. Bless newly planted congregations that they may endure. Guide established congregations that they may not lose heart, and build up our synod that our zeal for your kingdom may not flag but flourish and prosper according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you carry the burdens of our lives in your hands. Deliver from illness and suffering all who cry to you for release. Hear us on behalf of the sick, the dying, and those who mourn, especially those on our prayer list and those we remember in our hearts. Answer your people, O Lord, and deliver them from their infirmities and their grief by your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, hear your people for the sake of him who loved us even to death and who lives to call to himself all who will be saved. You know what we need and those things we should ask in your name. Grant them to us for the sake of our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Merciful God, we humbly implore you to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, may walk in the light of your truth and finally attain to the light everlasting. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. It's the doxology. Please remain standing for the doxology. Please be seated. Well, thank you all for coming out today. I pray that the service has been a blessing for you. I really don't have any announcements. We're still kind of in this weird limbo getting back to church situation, and so we don't have any activities coming up or anything like that. But again, I thank you guys for coming out. It's been a blessing for me to be here with you. So very, very much appreciate not being by myself anymore. Yes. Yes, next Sunday, I don't know if you guys saw online, we did our questioning digitally, and so that's all online for you to view if you'd like, but we are going to have confirmation next week, and so we will have the Lord's Supper, and we will have the rite of confirmation after our prayer of the church, or maybe before the prayer of the church, I forget. Around the time of the prayer of the church, we'll have our confirmation, and then share the Lord's Supper together, so yes, be aware of that as we continue. So. Anything else we may need to announce today? All right. Well, we have one last thing to do. If you will, please take out your small catechism insert one last time as we confess together our monthly Bible verse, which comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. That means that all things will work out for us because we have been called according to God's purpose. Thanks be to God for that. Have a blessed day and a blessed week.